today's podcast, we explore some male-related issues. Do you want to learn techniques for getting a strong erection? All you need to know about male virility, as well as practical solutions and guidance for getting and maintaining your erection. We continue with an in-depth exploration of Shiva, who is the masculine principle in Tantra. Shiva, in his ultimate reality, is pure consciousness. Discover more in this enlightening article. The meditation for today will be the communion with Shiva, accompanied by some appropriate music. Stay tuned, together with your yogi hosts, Amaris and Valentino.
This is Tantra FM, a step into bliss. I'm your host, Valentino. Techniques for getting a strong erection, part 1. Many people consider that part of what makes a man, lies in his erection. Usually the erection appears during foreplay or while the man expects sexual intercourse. However, tension, age, and other psychic factors make it difficult to get an erection sometimes. Therefore, we shall introduce the causes that generate this fact and the possibilities to fight it, according to the Oriental art of lovemaking. First, it is highly recommended that after a man has had an orgasm, preferably without ejaculation, he does not immediately hurry towards a new erection. The process of gaining another erection should be slow and lacking any kind of stress, with a woman's help if possible. The union of the two lovers through a sexual act performed with sexual continence makes it necessary to fulfill two apparently opposing conditions. Maintaining a strong erection, which needs an intense erotic stimulation, and avoiding ejaculation, precisely because of this intense stimulation. In order to live with both of these conditions, we have to know that sexual play depends on three distinct nervous groups. One that maintains the sensorial motor connection between the sexual organs in the brain, consequently our main sexual organ. The other, the parasympathetic system, causes and maintains the erection. And the last one, the sympathetic system, is responsible for ejaculation. It is equally important that we know a few aspects connected to the phenomenon of erection. There are two fundamental types of erections. Number one, nocturnal or morning erections, which are purely reflexive. Number two, erections caused by erotic stimulation, either directly or even through dreams. The first type of erection particularly interests us because it brings two specific cases into the light. The first occurs in older couples where the man can no longer perform as well, and the second occurs due to phony impotence, in which most men blame their lack of potency on some sort of physical problem. However, except in some very rare and exceptional cases, every night, every man has at least 5 full erections, ever since he was young. The German researchers, quoted by Dr. Sherman J. Seiber in his book, The male, have studied great numbers of men in their sleep and determined that a man's penis becomes erect for 25 minutes to 84 minutes during the rapid eye movement phase, or in other words, while dreaming. If the subject is awakened, he usually remembers the content of his dream. Furthermore, it has been proven that nocturnal erections are not connected to the content of the dream, which most of the time had nothing erotic in it. Thus, with some erectile math, we realize that by the age of 75, the average penis was up for about 33,000 hours. That's about 4 years, 4 months, 4 weeks, leaving aside the leap years. Knowing that an erection depends on the parasympathetic nervous system, whose role is also to slow the breath and heartbeats, as well as to dilate the blood vessels, and that ejaculation depends on the sympathetic nervous system, one may easily notice that impotence and premature ejaculation have one thing in common. the overexcitation of the sympathetic nervous system due to anxiety. Here's a classic situation. A man meets a woman whom he desires greatly. He thinks anxiously, but what if I'm not up to the task? Thus, the fear of a humiliating failure is overexciting his sympathetic nervous system. The result? His heart beats like crazy and his breath becomes rapid and superficial. These are all processes that inhibit the action of his opponent, the parasympathetic nervous system, in charge of erections. Then, despite the best efforts of the disconcerted seducer, the result will be totally disappointing. What's worse, he may ejaculate even before entering the woman. The experienced woman may save the day by calming and helping her partner relax. Once his sympathetic nervous system is relaxed, his breath becomes deep and regular. The parasympathetic system takes over and opens the gates towards an erotic paradise. Techniques for Getting a Strong Erection, Part 2. Let us turn our attention towards the ejaculatory process again. Premature or not, ejaculation depends on the sympathetic nervous system, which warns the seminal glands to prepare for seminal expulsion. One movement and the sympathetic system will cause the powerful contractions from the base of the penis, which in turn will cause an ejaculation. At this point, it is an irreversible process. In conclusion, in order to overcome impotence, we have to manage and calm our sympathetic nervous system. In order to control the erection and prevent ejaculation, we have to stimulate the parasympathetic nervous system. What are the practical methods? In order to activate the parasympathetic system, we should control and be aware of our breathing. Breathe in slowly, deeply, and exhale gradually, relaxed. The respiratory pattern should be constant during the sexual act, starting with foreplay. The man will gain insight and stay calm. His reward will be a full erection and a satisfied woman. Furthermore, in order to avoid overexciting your sympathetic system, it is highly important that the movements of the two lovers are smooth and the man adapts to the rhythm of his lover. Avoid all sudden movements, smile and maintain a relaxed atmosphere. Finally, instead of losing potency with age, the man who practices sexual continence gains strength and resistance. Preserving the sperm enhances the libido, and the man will not experience the progressive erosion of his sexual power, constant worry of any man over 40 years old. The young man compensates for loss of energy through ejaculation through a faster recharge. At a young age, a man has to wait only a few minutes before he's ready again. Later, however, when he advances in age, he has to wait up to several hours until he's ready for a new experience. Sometimes, it even takes days. However, as compensation for his patience, the years that pass bring sexual maturity to each man, even to those who ejaculate, which makes them more appreciated lovers. So, is the quick erection such a great asset? The aged lover may wait a little longer, but he can carry on making love for a lot longer, making him more desirable than the young and inexperienced man, who finishes before he even started. Let us now discuss the sexual erosion that comes around with age. The cause is the terrible waste of sperm that occurs with each passing year. However, by preserving your sexual energy through the practice of sexual continence, you will always be youthful and full of energy. Frequent ejaculations shorten a man's orgasms as well. While in his 20s, a man could project his sperm to about half a meter, a distance that decreases dramatically with age due to frequent ejaculations. In order to avoid these unpleasant aspects, there is only one solution: to avoid wasting your sperm. A man, as a sexual animal, is an exception and cannot be compared to other mammals. Nonetheless, we should mention the fact that animals themselves copulate only for short periods of time and only for reproductive purposes. Their males may spend months or years without intercourse. Tantric and Taoist teachings also indicate that the waste of sperm exhausts one's virility and is the main cause for premature sexual senility. Seminal retention facilitates a rich sexual life, allowing several intimate contacts a day, and preserves the biological youth of the practitioner. It is enough to practice seminal retention for only a week or two in order to be able to notice the sexual prowess coming back. The principal objection to seminal retention is that the testicles produce spermatozoids continuously, regardless of the number of ejaculations. This is true. However, when the ejaculations are too close in time, the spermatozoids are less numerous, and the sperm contains a number of immature gametes, indicating the fact that the testicles have to work extra hard, and the pressure on them is greater than it would normally be. There is no need to worry. Men that have been practicing sexual continence for decades are living proof of the fact that it does not imply any risk to one's health, only benefits. The erection, the starting point in lovemaking. It is important that we underline the following aspects. The hardness and duration of the erection are a sign of a man's virility. The erection phenomenon is the pillar that sustains sexual experience, be it profane or initiated. Practice of the exercises described in the men's section of our site can give you a stronger erection, stimulate your erotic vitality, and allow the penis to maintain an upright position for hours. It is important to understand that an erection may be triggered a lot easier if before intercourse you relax your whole body, insisting on the erogenous sexual areas. This is Tantra FM, the light that sets you free. I am your host, Valentino. Shiva, the Masculine Principle in Tantrism. Part 1. In the Hindu pantheon, Shiva is one of the gods in the divine trinity composed of Brahma, Vishnu, and himself, each representing one of the three aspects of the divine, that is, the creator, the sustainer, and respectively the destroyer of the universe. Shiva is said to live in Svarloka, the realm of gods and demigods, ruled by Indra, the greatest among them. Shiva, as distinguished from Parama Shiva, corresponds to that aspect of the ultimate reality which is pure consciousness, pure subject, pure I, without even the slightest notion of I am or I am this or I am here. In Tantra Loka, Abhinavagupta refers to Shiva as the mother and the father of the universe. Shiva is the seed or origin of the multidimensional universe, giving rise to all other ontological categories. Yet there is no duality in Shiva, because he is still completely immersed in blissful union with Shakti. However, in order to properly understand this fundamental concept of Tantrism, which is the masculine principle, Shiva, we should look back towards the roots of Tantra. Tantrism enjoys an immense popularity among philosophers and theologians, as well as among practitioners, such as yogis. All great Hindu religions have thus assimilated Tantra in one form or another. This process had actually begun thousands of years beforehand, during the Aryan civilization and during the blending of the different coexisting traditions, such as Dravidian. Legend says that during these inflaming times a great man was born, named Sadashiva. His name means the one who dedicated his life to the well-being of his fellows. Sadashiva, known as Shiva, was an outstanding spiritual teacher or guru. He was the one who first offered humanity the systematic presentation of sheer spiritual thought. As the legend goes, he is the one who set the basis of the spiritual dance and music in India, and is therefore also known as Nataraja, the god of the cosmic dance. Furthermore, the real founder of Hindu traditional medicine, and also the provider of a system of knowledge in this field, bearing the name of Vaidyak Shastra, is none other than Shiva. Shiva played an extremely important role in the social area as well. He is the creator of the marriage system, in which both partners accept equal responsibilities, disregarding caste or community. Shiva himself came from a mixed family and, through his marriage to an Aryan princess, helped quite a lot in unifying the warring factions in India at that time. The Hindu sage Sri Shankar, expert in studies and research on tantrism, considers Shiva to be the real father of the human civilization. However, Shiva's most important contribution to the development of a truly spiritualized civilization represents the concept of Dharma. Dharma is a Sanskrit word, which translated literally means innate characteristic. Which is the innate characteristic of a human being? Shiva explained that human beings seek and yearn for happiness. After that, and because of that, came the satisfaction of the senses. The actual indisputable aim of all human beings, whether aware of this or not, is to obtain absolute peace and freedom, infinite knowledge, and spiritual bliss. Shiva's ideas were transmitted orally at first, then in written form. His wife Parvati used to ask him questions on topics raised by the spiritual practice he taught. The tantras, texts or writings which present the tantric philosophy and practice, are in fact the dialogues between Shiva and his wife Parvati. Dialogues in which Parvati asks questions on spiritual matters and Shiva gives divine answers. The tantras are divided into two great categories. 1. The theoretic principles of the tantric system. Tantric philosophy and conceptions on different matters are to be found in the writings named Nigama. 2. The practices through which the proposed aims may be attained, the different methods, techniques, and procedures are to be found in the text named Agama. Many of these antique manuscripts were lost for good. Others were damaged by time, and others are still unreadable by the mundane mind because of their coded text meant to hide the tantric secrets from the eyes of the uninitiated. This is also one reason for which the conceptions and fundamental aspects of Tantra have not yet been completely decoded. Part of Shiva's original teachings were lost. Other parts were spread over large areas, being assimilated in different ways and under different forms, in the traditions and local schools. Each Hindu believer followed his own path, according to their inner aspirations, choosing one spiritual current which implied the adoration of one of these three gods. Thus, Tantrism and Yoga are especially oriented towards the adoration of Shiva, and are therefore called Shivites. And this spiritual current is named Shaiva. Others have turned towards the cult of Vishnu, named Vaishnava. Nonetheless, we should carefully distinguish between different spiritual currents and opposing spiritual currents, which is not the case of Shaivism and Vaishnavism. Some Western studies have committed the error of sustaining the idea that there were antitheses, competitions, and even fighting between the two spiritual currents. The Western seeker should properly understand that for the Hindu, Shiva and Vishnu represent two complementary aspects of Brahma, the creator. The first of these two gods, Shiva, represents the destructive, transforming, and reiterating principle of infinite creation, while the latter, the animating, conservative principle, which maintains creation in its current form. Unfortunately, nowadays, Tantra appears to most people as a tenebrous, unbreakable, and controversial mystery, owing to a multitude of misunderstandings and misconceptions that occurred in the minds of some of the reputed Western researchers of Tantra. The Tantrics, the practitioners of Tantra, and the Yogis, the practitioners of Yoga, belong to the Shaivist current, the aspect of the ultimate reality in the form of the Transformer, the renewer, and of an eternally vivacious, effervescent creation, best suited to their spiritual quest and ardor. Shaivism presents Shiva as endowed with all the attributes of the supreme divinity, and therefore he is the supreme creator. His symbolic representation while performing the magic dance of creation is an iconographic theme quite rich in symbolism, and offers us an idea about the rhythm of life of the whole creation, and of its destruction. We will discuss these aspects in detail later on. The name Shiva signifies the good and the kind. Paradoxically, he is also designated as the god of destruction, but this must not be misunderstood. He is not the destroyer of human beings, but the destroyer of ignorance and corruption in human nature. Thus, he is an infinitely benevolent force as he rapidly casts away the restraining chains of ignorance and allows human beings to contemplate his magnificence.
Hello and welcome to Tantra FM, the light that sets you free. I'm your host, Amaris. Let us perform a meditation with the following theme, the state of communion with Shiva. In order to help our concentration and to create a better resonance with the aspect we're meditating upon, we shall use proper musical support. Sit down on a chair with your spine straight, or assume a meditation pose such as Sukhasana, Vajrasana, or Padmasana. For those of you that are still unfamiliar with these positions, you can learn about them on www.shivashakti.com. Make sure your spine, your neck, and your head are in an upward position, and they form a straight line. Relax your entire body. Empty your mind and acquire a strong inner focus. Do not allow anything to disturb your concentration at this point. Start breathing deeply and rhythmically. With each inhalation, imagine that you're bringing peace and harmony into your being. Also, with each exhalation, imagine that you are eliminating all tension, stress, and anything else that might disturb you right now. Now we're ready to begin. It is time to focus our mind and meditate upon the following aspect: the state of communion with Shiva. Let us begin.
That concludes our broadcast. Have a nice day, everyone.